Well, what can I say after 25 years that I haven't said before? I suppose I can think of what Mary, Queen of Scots, sewed into her garments before her execution. She sewed a motto, embroidered a motto, which went, "In my end is my beginning." And I suppose that must be true. Always we must return to the beginning. We must return to the foundation of our faith. In all sorts of ways we leave it and depart from it. We do all sorts of things which are not quite in keeping with it. We make it up as we go along, like the Grand Inquisitor in the Brothers Karamazov. When Jesus returns, he says, "Well, actually, Jesus, we've improved your work. You know, we don't need you anymore. We've improved Christianity. We don't need you to tell us what to do." That's no good. And so we have to return. And wonderfully enough, the readings for this Sunday, which I didn't choose because they're the ones that are appointed, have just exactly what I need to make the point, as it were. It says, if I can find it, of course, "The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light." All of us have sat in darkness, and all of us have needed to see the great light. Meister Eckhart said, "God is a light shining in silent stillness." That sounds rather remote. And it also sounds to us as though we would think of light in terms of enlightenment. We would think in terms of, well, it tells me what to do and how to do it and what life's all about and things of that kind. But this light is the light that lightens every man, if you'll pardon the word, coming into the world, as the beginning of St. John's Gospel says. And this light is a person. This light is the person of Jesus of Nazareth, the second person of the Trinity, God and a human being for all eternity. And so virtue becomes loving. Goodness becomes caring. The things that we have used in some ways to damage others, principles, you know, principles, let's apply our principles. Principles are very important, but they can be inhuman and impersonal. We see in Jesus of Nazareth principles made personal, leavened always with love and mercy and understanding and forgiveness. As the Epistle to the Hebrews says, by suffering he learnt to identify with us so that he can share our suffering and our weakness. So that's the heart, to my understanding, of the Gospel. And that's what we are here for. Though it is sometimes the case that we have to endure changes and so on that we don't like. I don't like the fact that we don't use the Book of Common Prayer all the time. I don't like it in the slightest. And it may well be that in another parish, not from now, I may be sitting in the back going, "Tut, tut, tut, why are you not doing what I want you to do?" And so on. We have to put up with things that we don't like. But I always remember, and I think I've told you this before, when I was about 13 or 14, I came home to our house in Highgate. I had no idea why it happened like this, but as I put my key in the lock, I realized that there was an infinite goodness that lay behind everything. There was what Mother Julian would call the deep, quiet keeping of God. Behind all things, behind all this awfulness, the change, the fear, all the things that are part of our human life, behind all of that, there is this absolute goodness, kindness, love, peace and joy. In some ways, we can get into touch with this in this world. Sometimes it seems to be distant from us, but it is the promise of our life. It is the light which enlightens our lives. It's what our lives are for. And it's what our lives will be consummated in for all eternity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.